ESPN College Football Podcast.
And welcome to the College Football Podcast. Kevin Agandi alongside with you after a fantastic weekend in Vegas. It's great to have Todd McShay with us, who still has some fuel in the tank. Not a lot of gas, but we'll see what we can get out of him after a fantastic 3 days in Vegas. And listen, it's not just the 3 days. It is you're grinding the entire season as well as then doing reports on players after the season, looking at tape, of course, combines and, you know, workouts and conversations with GMs and coaches and executives and scouts. Let's just start off the top here, Todd. It is weird to say this, but I'm going to be the first to say it here. I'm not the last person, but on this podcast, the Jets are winners. It felt like they hit a home run, especially in round one.
I was thrilled for Joe Douglas. Obviously, I went to college with Joe, and you know, you evaluate and look at his draft the same way I do the other 31 teams. But when you have a true friend that's running the organization, how much, you know, turmoil has gone on with that organization over the years to make the moves that he made, you know, with Jamal Adams, right, and to pick up the first rounders that he got and move on from Sam, which was a tough decision because Sam can play. I mean, he just hasn't been able to stay healthy.
Sam Darnold, you mean, right?
Sam Darnold, right?
Yep.
It's difficult moves to lose two good players, but to do so knowing we're trying to build something here. And Joe Douglas came from the Ravens organization, and it was all about, you know, draft pick, like the quality and the quantity, you know, having volume in the draft. So important. So he comes into the draft with four picks in the top 38. And, you know, there was a lot of talk about Deebo Samuel and the deal just – that wasn't going to happen. So he wound up getting – the Jets wound up getting the best wide receiver in this class at number 10 in Garrett Wilson, who was the second receiver off the board. Drake London from USC went number 8 to Atlanta. But the player he wanted all along was Garrett Wilson at 10. And then he got the top cornerback, who was the second cornerback taken, but in my opinion, the number one corner in Sauce Gardner – you know, 6'3", long arms, never gave up more than 13 receiving yards to a receiver this past year, never gave up a touchdown in coverage during his entire career, Kevin. So you get Sauce Gardner, you got Garrett Wilson, who, remember, you've got to get weapons for your young quarterback in Zach Wilson. And then we talked right after the draft, and he said, you know, I started to worry that maybe there was information out on Jermaine Johnson, the defensive end from Florida State. Maybe there was something out there that we didn't have. And he's like, I would have been shocked because we always do our due diligence on all these guys, especially with the injuries, especially with the character. And he's like, there was nothing there. He's like, just to be honest with you, like, we were debating if the board fell a certain way and Wilson was off the board, which was a probability that Atlanta took Garrett Wilson at 8. We were debating, you know, at that 9 pick, maybe Jameson Williams and Jermaine Johnson. And he's like, so when he starts falling into the 20s and we've got all this extra draft capital, that's when we said we got to pull the trigger and go up and get him. So he gets one of the top four edge rushers, the top cornerback, and the top wide receiver in this class, all in the first round. I mean, it was a wild night.
To put it in perspective, too, I think since 2004, ESPN has used Scouts, Inc. when it comes to their rankings. And there were 14 players in this draft ranked 92 or above. And the Jets are the first team since 2004 to get three players in that 92 or above. I mean, home run after home run. Like you mentioned, Johnson falling in their lap in the 20s for them to move up to get him there. There
Those
were a
are my
handful
rankings,
of,
and I didn't even know that, Kev.
Oh, you didn't?
Oh, I had no idea.
Well, I'm glad they informed you on that. Yeah, it's something I have for you because you're going to bring us all the information, especially with the evaluations. We've got the Jets as winners. I think the Ravens did a good job as well. And Joe Douglas comes from that Ravens tree. Yep. Let's go to the other side here, the head scratchers. Which team where you were just like, what are we doing here? Round one, round two, round three, or even later in the draft that didn't make sense?
Yeah, I thought New England was interesting. And listen, Bill Belichick's a lot more successful at what he does than I am at what I do. So I always have to, you know, give that as a caveat. But if we're being honest, Bill's been up and down in the draft. I mean, the Patriots have not been a great drafting team over and over. They tend to get their best deals on veteran guys that they can evaluate apples to apples. Cole Strange is a good player, and we're all gonna knock on him. Mm-hmm. But when Bill turns 78 years old, Strange is gonna be an 8-year starter still for him. You know, I get it. He's an offensive guard coming out of Chattanooga, but I had him as the 77th best player in the draft. I did talk to teams that thought he was going to be a second-round pick, but they had already moved back, remember, in the first round from 21 to 29. So they had additional picks. Go and get him in the second round, right? And the receiver they took in, the wide receiver out of Baylor, Tyquan Thornton, that they took at pick 50, they could have gotten the third round. I mean, he was an ascending player. He's tall. He's long. He's got great – he ran the fastest 40 time of any wide receiver. Yeah, he's got great speed. He's a vertical guy. Love the pick. It's just I like the players they got, and they are players that they need. They need to protect the interior of that offensive line for Mac Jones, who's not the most mobile quarterback, a lot like when they had Tom Brady. That was the most important thing. You can't get pressure up the middle on those guys. And I like Thornton. They needed a speed receiver to kind of loosen things up vertically. But they got the guard in the first round that they could have gotten in the second. They got the receiver in the second. They could have gotten in the third. And then, listen, I love Marcus Jones. He's the best return specialist coming out of Houston in the entire draft. Got him in the third round. That was about where he should go. But then the other one, Bailey Zappe. I mean, you already have Jarrett Stidham in the lineup, right, as a number three quarterback. You've got a veteran number two quarterback behind Mac Jones. I just, you know, there were other players that they need speed at linebacker. They need more perimeter speed. And I know they got a couple cornerbacks in Marcus Jones, I mentioned, and Jack Jones in the fourth round. But I just think that roster needs more of an influx of speed at other positions, especially linebacker. And to draft the 6-rated quarterback when Sam Howell was still on the board and bring in Bailey Zappe. Like, I get Bailey Zappe. He's, according to the Wonderlic, he's the smartest quarterback in the class. Very accurate throwing the football, highly proficient. But what was it? Houston Baptist, he came out of, transferred to Western Kentucky, had a monster year this past year. But I just think there were other players at other positions that they could have drafted. So, I think Strange is going to be a longtime starter. I think they needed a speed receiver in Thornton. But knowing the draft and where players are going to go is – not as important, but it's a very important part of the process, because you could have gotten somebody else at 29, drafted Cole Strange in the second round, even if you had to move up a few spots with those additional fourth-round picks. They had 3 4th-rounders and 3 6th-rounders. They could have packaged one or two of those to go up and get those guys.
And by the way, this all comes down to fit is one thing. This comes down to value that Todd's talking about. Where's the value when you make a pick at this moment, right? And I'm glad you clarified, like, you know, the players that you mentioned are all talented. It's just, are they available a little bit later on? And we could do something like that. You bring up the quarterbacks. Great segue here, because I think there were a lot of people stunned, including Malik Willis's camp here. We talk about a guy that is rated either one or two when it comes to quarterbacks. For 4 months, everybody's talking about he's a first-round pick. It's just a question of when, right? When maybe we could see him in the teens, maybe in the late 20s, but definitely at least the second round. For him to drop, you know, Malik Willis going 86th overall to the Titans in the third round. Then you see Matt Corral going to the Panthers, 94th overall, third round. That you mentioned Ritter and Howell going 144th overall to Washington. Ritter coming off the board before Willis, 74th, third round to the Falcons. You were high on Ritter, and you talked about potentially him being one of the three quarterbacks taken in the first round. How would you assess the evaluation here of what teams are looking for this draft class, and then where they went?
So we all thought that the quarterbacks would get bumped up because they're quarterbacks, right? And that's kind of why the process went through it. But there were a couple things, too, that I kept trying to mention to people. First of all, every team I talked to had the quarterbacks in different orders. There were teams that I talked to that liked Corral as their number one. There were teams I talked to that liked Ritter as their number one. In fact, Atlanta was a team that had Ritter at number one when I talked to him in the pre-draft process. The majority of teams you spoke to, it was either Kenny Pickett from Pittsburgh or Malik Willis from Liberty as their number one, number two, right? So that was part of it. The other part was, what I tried to mention before, if you don't draft a quarterback in the first round, you're basically saying that we don't expect him to be a day one starter, or at least our starter going into year two, right? And then you get in the second, third round, and you got to remember, if you study the history of the draft, you have to get three good starters every year to replenish your roster. That's just kind of how it works. The teams like Green Bay and Baltimore that are always like in the playoffs, in the hunt, they always get three to four good starters out of a draft. So then you get to the second, third round, and yeah, it's like the value's there. We see the value of Malik, but I need a nickel corner. I need a starting linebacker. I need a guard. And so that's what started to happen. And we saw with all the movement with the quarterbacks, more so than with quarterbacks and wide receivers, I don't think we've ever seen this much movement in a free agency and trade period like we saw this offseason. So a lot of teams got their quarterback situation settled. Even Atlanta, Marcus Mariota is not the long-term answer, but at least they have the guy they know they can go into the season with. So when they got Ridder, I thought that was a perfect pick because that's the guy they wanted, and they were able to wait till the third round to get it. And in Tennessee, the same thing with Malik. Like, we talked about in March the potential for Carolina to take Malik Willis at 6, and he's available at 86. And so they go and get the guy that could have been a top 10 pick. And at worst, I thought, if Pickett goes earlier, then Willis will go 22 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so you get a first-round quarterback in a lot of people's minds in the third round. So I like the situation that both of those guys are in. I think Ridder has time now to develop. He has 49 starts. He's a proven winner. He's working on the efficiency of his movement and his feet. He hasn't taken advantage of the great athleticism that he has. And I think that will be something they focus on when he's a rookie. Kind of throw out the comparison. It's not a comparison. But think about the situation that Patrick Mahomes was in Kansas City. Having a year behind a veteran that's willing to work with you because he knows that he's not going to be the long-term answer there. Having an organization that's going to work with you to put you in the best situation you can be in. I think Ridder's in a great spot to succeed. And then Malik with Tennessee. Like, Tennessee is in a really unique situation because they're a playoff football team. The only thing that set them back last year was the three interceptions in the playoff game from Tannehill. Mm-hmm. And then he's owed – this year they have to pay up on the cap. But the following year, if they part ways with Tannehill and think that Malik can be the guy, they're saving about – I think it's $34, $35 million and can take that $34, $35 million and help replenish the rest of the – keep some of their guys, go out and get a big free agent or two. So that will free them up if Malik shows progress in his first year.
And let's not forget the Titans are pretty busy in round one, trading A.J. Brown and the Eagles.
Yes.
And then drafting basically the guy who comps out at him at 18th overall on Treylon Burks out of Arkansas. Let's stay with the Eagles here because there's another guy that – everybody was assuming that, okay, maybe not in the first round, but definitely in the second round. And for him to be in the third round, the leader of that Georgia defense, and that's N'Kobe Dean going to Philly right there. When that drop happens, you mentioned Joe Douglas, right? When that drop happens, everybody's starting to say, what about the medicals? What about the medicals? What were you hearing about N'Kobe Dean and the pectoral? And were you shocked that he dropped all the way to the third round and landed with the Eagles?
I was. I had him as my 19th ranked player. He went 83 overall. So huge discrepancy, probably the biggest discrepancy of all the players that I had in the first round where they went. I had 29 of my top 32 went in the first round. So
well done.
Thank you. Actually, the most I've ever had. And 86 out of my top 100. So, my board was set as well as it's ever been. And I've never had 86 out of 100 in the top 100. But it was a couple quarterbacks and then N'Kobe Dean. And I knew it. I said all along, pre-draft, during the draft, I'm going to die on the Dean Hill. And what I meant by that, I tried to explain it several times, is I like this guy so much. I know from talking to probably 15 teams during the pre-draft process, them basically begging me to save face, get him out of the first round. He's going to go in the second. He's going to go behind Quay Walker. And wow. I was like, damn, are you serious?
Yeah.
I like Quay. I got him at 34 overall. But there's no, you turn on the tape, Dean, N'Kobe Dean was two steps ahead of everybody on every play. He's the best player on that defense every single game you studied. And you had the number one overall pick, Trayvon Walker. You had Jordan Davis going earlier to the Eagles. And you had all the, and Quay Walker going in the first round at linebacker ahead of him. It's like, that doesn't match up. The reason I was being told to get off the Dean Hill and to not die on it was the size. And, you know, the lack of length. He's right around 230 pounds is where he plays. And he didn't run a 40 because we estimate he's like a 4.68, 4.7 instead of a 4.55 guy, right? And so I was fine with it when we got into like the first 10 picks in the second round. Then we got to the middle of the second, and my I'm on my phone. I'm this like, and I text three different general managers during the middle of the second round, like, what's going on with Dean? And I got the same feedback from all three. It's not necessarily required that he has to get pec surgery, but there's concern that he will. And if he gets pec surgery, that could cut into his rookie year. So now you've got an undersized linebacker without elite speed, a player we all think is great on tape. We got it. But he doesn't have the measurables, and you could lose a portion of the rookie season. Now, his family is coming out and yelling and screaming, his mom, and I get it that he doesn't have to have surgery. The Eagles are saying they don't think he has to have surgery. We'll see how that plays out. But the bottom line is, even if he misses a month of the season, when N'Kobe Dean gets on the field, it's going to be impossible for me to understand why that player was drafted in the third round. Forget even just what he does on tape. It's the fact that he can, in addition to the run defending, he can cover, and he's a great blitzer. And then you take into consideration, like, he has a degree in mechanical engineering. I was told by two different general managers he has the smartest football IQ of any defensive player in this draft. And he's a leader. Wow. He was the glue guy for that Georgia team, like, kept everything together. So, yeah, there's a pec injury that may cost him some games early on, but you're talking about 4 or 5 years of, you know, 4 years now that he wasn't a first-round pick that you're guaranteed to have him. I think he's a special player, and I can't wait for him to stuff it to 31 other teams for passing on him in the first two rounds.
Todd, I can't wait, period. Like, I
know you can't.
My eight-year-old the next morning, and he was like, did we get him? And I'm like, yeah, we got N'Kobe Dean. He couldn't believe that we landed him in the third round.
The Eagles had a great draft. I mean, you bring in a veteran wide receiver, right?
Yep. And then Jordan Davis,
listen, if you keep him at 340 pounds, and I was told that he passed up on the Swedish fish and all the food that was presented to him with the Philadelphia Eagles when he showed up there, he's committed to keeping his weight down. And we saw it at the combine. I mean, 340 pounds running a 4.72 in the 40-yard dash, setting a record for that size, 10.3 broad jump. Like, this guy is freakishly athletic for his size. We've never seen a player do the things that he can do athletically. And when he's on the field and he's fresh, I don't care about the sack numbers. He is a frustrating player because you got to double team him in order to prevent him from walking your center or your guard back into the quarterback. So if you can get 45 plays out of him, we talked to Howie Roseman yesterday, the GM. He's like, we are committed. Like, we didn't spend the 13th pick in the draft and move up to go get that guy to be a 25 play per game guy. Mm-hmm. So we're going to give every bit of opportunity and provide every resource for him to stick around 335, 340 pounds, because if he's there, he's going to be more of a 45 play per game guy. And right away, the run defense is like a massive upgrade. You can't run in the A and B gap when he's on the field, period. And he's a taking on double teams. So that's freeing up a linebacker or a defensive lineman. Yes. So, like, he has a chance to be special if he's committed to keeping his weight where it needs to be.
Yeah, and we're talking about the Georgia defense headlining, of course, the first round. They're going to headline next year's draft, especially in the first round. Listen, we also know, you know more than anybody, we didn't see a lot of quarterbacks off the board in this draft because it's all about next year, right? Everybody's building up, and many teams are collecting two first-round picks for next year's draft because of the quarterback stock as well as Georgia's defense headlining it. And then we're going to start with a defensive player. I don't want to say let's get to your mock because that's not fair to you. You got to let this breathe a little bit. But a year ago, we're talking about – Thursday, okay. But a year ago, we're talking about Spencer Rattler at this time, and Spencer Rattler came back to college, and he's going to be at South Carolina, and he won't headline this upcoming draft. It's going to be the C.J. Shrouds, the Bryce Youngs. I mean, other quarterbacks like Will Levis and Tyler Van Dyke, and I feel like I'm missing a handful of guys that we could see make this jump from the third, fourth-round projections into the second-round conversation. So how do you evaluate early on, and then – the number one guy probably off the board could have been number one this year is Will Anderson.
Will Anderson,
the linebacker Alabama.
I mean, it's like a coin flip. It's a coin flip right now, Kev, on which Alabama player is going to go number one, right? I mean, normally it's going to be a quarterback.
Yep.
It depends on which teams draft. If it's Jacksonville again, I'm just throwing it out there. Obviously, they would go with Will Anderson. But in this situation, you know, it looks a lot more like the 2021 draft, where we had five quarterbacks come off in the first 15, obviously starting with Trevor Lawrence at number one to Jacksonville, finishing with Mac Jones going 15 to the Patriots. That's what next year's class looks like. And if you just kind of read the tea leaves, Miami getting an additional first-round pick next year, it's kind of shot across the bow to Tua Tagovailoa, like, hey, we got you the most dangerous weapon in the entire NFL. We got you a left tackle. We got you a guard. You know, we've loaded up in free agency. Now you get everything you need. You got 1 year to show that you can be the guy. I'm not saying they have to win a Super Bowl, but they got to get in the playoffs and make a little bit of a run and show a lot of progress for Tua to keep that job, or else they're going to be drafting Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, and they're going to package those picks, move up, and go get their guy. Same with your Eagles. You know, I love what Jalen Hurts did last year, the improvement he made, but he hit kind of a plateau. So now Hurts, with the weapons they just brought in, the trade that they made for a veteran receiver, bringing in the defensive players that they have, there's no excuse now. So Jalen Hurts has to show he can make it the next step. If not, we made that trade with New Orleans solely. Howie would never say it. I'll say it for him. Howie Roseman made that deal because he wanted to have an additional first-round pick next year in order to move up. And the Giants no one really talked about this. The Giants wanted to pick at five, and they did a great job with that pick. But at seven, they wanted to move out. They just couldn't get a deal done. The reason they wanted to move out is for the same reason Tua Tagovailoa in Miami and Jalen Hurts in Philly. They wanted to be in position to move up and get one of these guys, whether it's Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, you mentioned Will Levis, Tyler Van Dyke, one of those guys to be the quarterback in the future. And don't forget, they were denied the fifth-year option to Daniel Jones. So this is a one-year contract deal for Daniel Jones and the New York Giants.
And then, like, again, this was the Georgia first round, right? We're talking about the Georgia defense once again, the first round, headlined by Jalen Carter, Keely Ringo, Nolan Smith. We can keep on going. There's going to be guys that are going to move up. Trayvon Walker wasn't even mentioned a year ago at this time in the first round. And then he goes number one. Like, this thing is so stacked in the first round. I think it's just going to be a lot of fun. It feels like there's 40 players with first round talent, at least from a year from now, where we're going to predict that. Good luck, right? You could just.
And Carter, I had to watch every single game of Georgia and watch it like three times over because there's so many dudes. There were 11 guys that I was evaluating on tape from that defense. It could have been drafted, or they all will be undrafted free agents if they didn't get selected, right? 88, Carter, I'm telling you, like, I'm like, Todd, stop watching 88. Like, you got 10 other guys to watch. Stop. But you can't help yourself. Like, the explosion.
He's a freak.
Yeah, and like, Devontae Wyatt is a great player. He's a first-round draft pick. Jordan Davis, Trayvon Walker. But 88, man, he's different. Yeah. He's different.
Jalen Carter is who you're referring to. We feel the same way about Will Anderson. And, you know, we saw the Ohio State wide receivers go. I mean, Jaxon Smith-Njigba is one of those guys who could be better than the Wilsons and the Olaves, which is just completely unfair in that scenario.
Yeah, with him and Harrison Jr., wide receiver. I mean, that wide receiver. How do you get a better wide receiver room than what they had last year? Maybe it's not as deep, but I don't think there's going to be a drop-off. And you had Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson – go in the first round, the top 20 picks.
It's wild. Well, listen, the mock draft coming out on .com for 2023. Todd, you're the best. I know you're exhausted. We do appreciate the time. You're just kind of giving up the setting up everything that we saw over the weekend, but also the platter for college football fans this upcoming season, who to keep an eye on and right now where they are. You could check it out, that mock draft coming out on Thursday on ESPN.com. Rest up, buddy. Thank you.
You got it, brother. Always good talking to you.
Yo, big thanks to Todd McShay here on the College Football Podcast. I'm beyond excited about this upcoming season. And I mean, a year ago, as I mentioned, Spencer Rattler was projected to be one of the number one guys to go off the board. You know, Mel Kiper loved him. And then we saw now that he has a new life in South Carolina. Keaton Slovis now, a guy that was projected and a lot of people liked and said, okay, out of USC, let's see where he's going to be down the road. Now at Pitt, I know there's a lot of things going on in college football when it comes to the conversation of the NIL and the transfer portal. And we will have plenty of time to dissect that in the coming weeks. But I wanted to make sure we mentioned some of the guys to get fan bases excited about this upcoming season, because there's so much talent that we didn't see come off the boards in the draft because they have to come back. And it's led by guys like Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson that I cannot wait. They will be headlining the entire college football season in 2022 and then leading into the 2023 draft. So enjoy that while we can and enjoy the rest of your week. And make sure you check out Todd McShay's NFL mock draft for 2023 coming out on ESPN.com. on Thursday. Big thanks to Sarah Abbott and Taylor Schwenk on the other side, always keeping it down for us here, producing the podcast here for you each and every week. Take care and enjoy.